Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Another sermon on strength. Everybody say, oh no. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Another sermon. Glory to God. I don't think God's going to let us loose. Sometimes you got to just keep going until you get it. Is that right? Hallelujah. You got to keep trying till you get it. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I set my Bible down right there. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. I like that sound. I like it, man. It's nice. Glory to God. How many watched the funeral, Billy Graham's funeral this weekend? Anybody see that? Man, it was something. Showing it on Channel 11. And just an amazing man of God gone home to be with Jesus. Amen? And one of the things he said, I liked one of the things he said, that when they tell you that I passed away, don't you believe it. He said, I didn't pass away. I just relocated. Praise God. And man, you know, praise God for that. I thank God. You know, his Franklin Graham was given his talking a little bit about him, and oh man, just a powerful man of God. And his children and his children's children and his great-grandchildren were all there. And what a legacy to leave, amen? That at your great grandfather's funeral, the President of the United States is on the front row. What a legacy, man. Come on, man. Come on. Woo, man. Hallelujah. I got such a blessing. My son and I were watching, just kind of weeping, looking at each other. Man, this is good. This is cool. But it's something. Hallelujah. Henceforth, there is reserved a crown for him. Amen. How big a crown do you think that guy's got? Woo, if every soul saved is a jewel. Come on, man. I can't wear it, God. It'd be like David trying to put on Saul's armor, man. It's too big. I can't go in this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Today we're the sermon is strength through giving. Is that what it's called? I'm gonna call it something else. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Word of God. Hallelujah. Man, I feel the presence of God in here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for meeting with us, Lord. You're always faithful to meet with us, Lord. Thank you always, Father God. If there's an invitation, Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Father. Rise up, oh God, rise up. You know, talked a little bit last week, I think it was. It might have been last week, I don't know when it was. Anyway, talked about the tabernacle when Moses finished the tabernacle And as soon as it was finished, the Spirit of God flooded the tabernacle. You remember that? And I got one of these thoughts. I said, man, I should have said this. It's like Black Friday. You guys know? Some of you got that. Nobody know what Black Friday is? When you're on your shopping, where everybody, it's a mad rush inside to get what you need, man. It was like God was waiting, man, when the doors, whoosh, he was in there, man. So much so that Moses and those guys couldn't even go in, man. That every time they got close, man, it just, whoosh. Can you imagine the presence of God? Hallelujah. I'm believing that the presence of God is going to come into the Senate or the Congress while it's in session. It's going to wipe those guys out for a week. And they'll be talking about it. I'm just asking God, you just got to do it. Let us just see it, God. Let us see it. National TV. All these guys laid out. What are they doing? Are they sleeping? Are they asleep? Oh, man, your representative and your senator this morning is eating carpet. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because of the presence of God. The Bible teaches that the presence of God is, there is a weightiness to it. That man, that when man gets close to the presence of God, it just almost literally drives you to your knees. It's called the kabod of God. It's a weight. And it's not one to, it's not one that would hurt you. Woo, but it will build you up and strengthen you like nothing else. Hallelujah. Let that kabod, the glory of God, come into your house. Hallelujah. Into your bedroom and into your closet, wherever you're praying, allowing the kabod of God, the presence of God, just to move in. Hallelujah. And when you sense it, say, Lord, what are you saying? What do you want me to hear? What are you doing, Lord? I was talking to a couple. They were talking about that they're playing music at home, and before you know it, they begin to weep. And they're like, what'd you do? Oh, we stopped and we worshiped God. You know, and that's, I mean, you just keep on going. Keep pushing. Keep allowing God to move in. Is that right? Just keep going. Keep getting closer and closer. And I guarantee you, you will begin to hear God speak to your heart, because he desires to speak to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was telling my son just the other day, I don't know why I'm saying all this, but I just sense God. I was telling my son yesterday, when he left, because he's got some things that are very heavy on his heart that aren't really a weight, but I said, God, I just got to know what God wants me to do about this. And I was telling him yesterday, I said, look, you know, I would love, as your dad, to go ahead and walk up to you and say, man, this thus saith the Lord, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Isn't that, because that's what we look for. But you know what? Folks, I really believe God is saying, no, stop it. Stop it. Don't do that. Let me speak to him. Is that okay? I'm telling you, God wants to talk to you one-on-one. Folks will go drive 900 miles to go listen to some guy, hoping that he's going to call them out of a crowd and say, hey, you stand up and let me preach to you and let me speak a word to you. Where God is in your house, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, he's in your house and he will speak to you if you let him. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. That's why we say that we are independently dependent upon God, because God will speak to you. He paid for you. He sent his son to die for you so that he could speak personally to you. And that's just an awesome thing. It's crazy, isn't that? Hallelujah. You don't need no Benny Hinn. You don't need Henry Ayala to speak to you, man. What you need is that presence of God in your house speaking to you personally, because he loves to talk. Can I tell you that? God loves to talk. He loves to speak. He loves when his children will hear him. He loves it. Hallelujah. The Bible says he rejoices over them. He dances, does a little jig. They're listening. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants to speak some things into our lives today. Is that okay? Hallelujah. He wants to say some things. Hallelujah. Be listening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we ask you that through your word, Lord, you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Father, we've heard it all, but we've heard nothing yet. So, Lord, would you just speak to our hearts this morning what you would have for us today? Not from yesterday, not from 2 years ago, but, Lord, today, speak something fresh and new within our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. The strength of giving. Praise God. What does it say on your bulletin? I can't seem to get it right. Thank you. That's okay. I guess I did get it right. Praise God. If you will, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Hallelujah. How many love giving? There's people in this church that love to give. And I'm going to tell you, I thank God they're here. Hallelujah. Because some of the folks that are in this house, they give. And I look at that and I said, man, I need to start giving more. Amen. Hello? Anybody? Hello. Amen. That's a good place to say amen, brothers and sisters. That's a good place to say amen. When you look and you see something, you go, man, that's a giving heart right there, man. Boy, I need to tune up a little bit. Amen. Praise God. We got some good folks. Hey, there's some ladies that took my wife to dinner on Thursday, the day before her birthday, and I want to thank all you ladies that took her, because, man, I'll tell you what, she come home shining. Hallelujah. She was happy. She felt loved. Hallelujah. How many know we all need to feel loved once in a while? Praise God. Hallelujah. Happy birthday, babe.
Yes.
Glory to God. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 13. And one of the company said to him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And he said unto them, "Take heed, therefore, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things which he possesses." Is that true? A man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that you possess. I don't care how many possessions you have. Hallelujah. Your life is not, or shouldn't be wrapped up in those possessions. Hallelujah. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Everybody say, rich toward God. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be rich toward God? Hallelujah. We're going to learn a little bit about that today. But being rich toward God is giving, because God cares about people. How many know that? How many know that God cares about people? Hallelujah. And how many know that we are God's hands and feet in the earth? Is that okay? So the fact of the matter is, God uses his people to give. Is that okay? That's good. I hope that's okay, because that's the truth. God will use you occasionally, some more than others, to give, to do something, to help, to give a handing hand, to give a word to. But God will use you to give. Hallelujah. And how much you give for the Lord, there's a richness in it. Is that okay? God says, "Man, I'll make you rich. I will make you rich." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 22 says, "And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. For the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And if you be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest?" Hallelujah. And basically, he's addressing worry, anxiousness. Is that right? He's addressing it. It says, "Why take ye thought?" But he's talking about worry. Why are you even thinking about some of those? How many of you know that 90% of the things you worry about never happen? Is that true? Probably even 95% of the, maybe even 99% of the things that you worry about never, ever, ever happen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you know that there is a better way to use your thought life than just worrying about stuff? Is that okay? Is that all right? Because it's true. It really is. There really is a better way to use your thought life. Your thoughts can change. Like last week, we talked about the rest of God. Talked about how we can get into rest. Now there's a place to allow your thought life to get into. That way, your thought life, when you're in that place of rest, God begins to invade your thought life. Isn't that cool? God will invade your thought life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I used to worry about my wife. Hallelujah. Really, My worry about my wife was that she was going to leave me. She's going to find somebody else. Have you guys ever? Nobody's ever done that. Nobody? No. I said, man, you know what? I'm not that great of a guy. So I said, man, you know, she's going to run into somebody she really likes, you know. So I better make sure that I make sure that she knows that I care about her. And that if she left me, I would pass away. Hallelujah. How many of you worry about your taxes? How many of you worry about your clothes for the kids for next year, for school? How many of you worry about those things? The Bible, Jesus tells us not even to worry about those things. Is that okay? Because God will take care of you. Is that right? His whole thing about you is that he wants you to realize that he will provide for everything that you need. That's just who he is. He wants you to be comfortable in that. So let's just keep reading this. Watch this. If you be not able to do the thing which is the least, why take ye thought for the... He's talking about adding... John, come here. I'm going to take... How tall do you think this young man is? I got a question for you. How tall is he? I'm 7'2". I know. Yeah. How tall do you think this man is? Somebody give me a number. 5'5". 5'5". 5'4". 5'3". 4? Come on. not his age. Yeah. Come on, yeah. How tall are you, John?
5'6".
5'6".
I used to be 5'7", but I shrunk.
They all say that. Yeah. Can you add a cubit to your stature? No.
How many? Not physically.
Not physically. You can't, huh?
No.
Can you wear... platform shoes?
No, but I put my cowboy boots.
Yeah. Your cowboy boots? Yeah, get taller.
That's true.
How many know what a cubit is? How much is that? 18 inches. It goes from the elbow to your arm. There's you can go ahead and sit down, yeah. They've got different measurements. You got an Arabian 18 inches. You got the Jewish 18 inches, but it basically it's not 18 inches. It's the length from your elbow to the longest finger. That's a cubit. That's the way. Can you imagine Noah building his ark? 1, 2, all the way. Almost 300 yards long. Is that right? A cubit. Can you add even to your own? Nowadays, you can add hair to your head. Is that right? Yeah, is that cool? Yeah, but yeah, no. But how many of you actually know how many hairs are on your head? No, but yeah. Yeah, John. Oh boy, we have to, we're going to move away from that. Pastor, poor Pastor John. Glory to God. God knows more about you than you know about yourself. Is that right? He really does. Will you even believe this, that God knows about what you are more than what you know? He's got more for you than what you've even imagined. Is that right? Is that okay? He loves you. And he's going to do great things for you. Hallelujah. But we can't even add height to what, you know, we can cheat, but to you know, just to really add, we can't do it. The least of things. There's a scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is that right? Can we do everything? Do we have limitations? Are we limited in certain things? Yeah, we are. We've always been limited in certain things. Men cannot have babies, right? Yeah. You cannot add to the bottom of your feet or however to get yourself strong, get yourself taller, even 18 inches taller. You just can't do it. Limitations. But when it comes to God and what he has for you and what he shows you, you can do all things through him who loves you. Is that okay? That's a good word. Hallelujah. If you be, verse 26, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why do you take thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. Now, how many of you are cooking lunch tonight, today? Nobody's eating lunch? Wow. You guys are a tough crowd. Man, I tell you, man, everybody's fasting? Come on over to my house. Tacos. Yeah, no. Yeah, come on. No, man. You know, he's not really talking about you, what your schedule is on. It's talking about you thinking, hey, am I going to have, there are some people that are in a situation where they don't even know if they're going to have money for food. Do you guys know that? How many of you know we got to find those folks? How many know that we got to search them out? We got to find out who they are. And you know what? There's people in this church. I mean, you know, it doesn't take a lot of folks to find out something about somebody that's in a need. How many know that? Glory to God. So folks, I'm going to tell you something. Don't worry about what your needs are. I really believe that God is trying to get us to begin to focus on the needs that are people that are outside and around us, because he loves them. And he wants to reach out a hand to them so that he can just speak to them and hurt and let them know that he's in love with them. Hallelujah. So he says, so God so clothed the grass which today is in the field, tomorrow is cast in the oven. How much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. Does God know that you have these things? That you have these needs? Does he know that? He absolutely does. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Seek the kingdom of God. The word in Matthew, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. How many know the first thing to do we should be doing is seeking God on things? Is that all right? If you have a need, the first place to go is to go to God. God, I have a need. And he's going to tell you, he said, you know what? I know that. Yeah, but thank you for coming to me. I will provide that need. I will. That's what God is saying to us. I will provide your needs. He is the provider. Those are his promises. But you got to hold to those promises. Is that right? Do you need a job? He's got it for you. You got to go to him. Hallelujah. You don't need to just go to him. Do you need a better job? Just go to him. Do you have a problem with somebody in your workplace or in your neighborhood? Go to him. Hallelujah. Go to him. And you watch, because he has declared himself to be everything that you need. Is that good? Amen, Henry. That's good. Because it's true. He has declared himself to be everything that you need. Everything. No matter what you need, God says, I declare myself to be everything you need. Hallelujah. He's a good God. How many know that? He's a great God. Hallelujah. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to what? To give you the kingdom. Is that right? Jesus just tells us, seek the kingdom and don't be afraid, because it's his good pleasure. He wants to give you the things of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Do you know that the kingdom operates a lot different than this world operates? How many know that? How many say, yeah, I know that. The kingdom operates totally different. Hallelujah. When you're faced with something, it says, fear not, where this world will tell you, oh, you need to go get a lawyer, boy. You need to go do this. You need to go do that. And, you know, the world will try to lead you. But God says, seek first my kingdom, and you'll find out that I am true to my word. He loves you. Yeah. Everybody say amen. He loves you. He does love you. Praise God. Glory to God. Verse 33 says this, sell that ye have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moths corrupt. Verse 34 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Everybody say that. Where my treasure is, that's where my heart is. Say that again. Where my treasure is, that's where my heart is. Where my treasure is, that's where my heart is. Hallelujah. I want you to think about that. I hope you're taking some notes on some of these scriptures today, because I believe these scriptures are going to help a lot of us. Where your treasure is, that's what? Thank you. Yeah. Well, that's where your heart is. But I want you to look at it. I want you to go back to verse 33. It says this, sell what you have and give alms. So what I want you to tell you today, I want all of you to go sell your houses and bring all the money back in here. Is that okay? Praise God. Let's go home. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what he's talking about. Does he say, sell all that you have? He doesn't say that, does he? But he's talking about giving alms. How many know it's important we give? We said this a little while ago. It's important that we give. It's important because you cannot outgive God. Is that a scripture? I don't think so, is it? I don't think so. Does anybody know? I've heard it so many times, but you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. It might not be a scripture, but I know it's true. I know it's true. I know that every time we've given, God has moved in on us. Hallelujah. Every time when it's a sacrifice to give, I'm going to tell you, we don't see like millions of dollars coming in. but there's something about the supply of heaven begins to move in and begins to give us understanding and knowledge in the kingdom of God. And I tell you what, I would rather have that than anything in the world. I would rather have, rather than gold and silver and all those things, I would rather have understanding in what God is doing for my life and for those around me. I'd rather have that. That to me is valuable. That to me is what I believe God is trying to get me to. Hallelujah. So if you will, let's talk a little bit about God, about giving. Does God need your money? Does God really need your money? Does God need your car? Does he need your house? Does he need all your clothes? What does God need? What is God looking for when he asks us to give? He's looking for your heart. But can I tell you that God needs you to have a heart that gives alms, tithes, and offerings for the reason of it opens the door so that he can bless you. That's what he's trying to do. He is wanting to bless his people. How many know that? He's desiring to get blessing into your life. What he wants to do is give you things, money, so that you can store it up, but so that you could, he not give it to you, but give it through you. He wants to be able to get stuff to you. Is that okay? And it comes by giving. It really does. God wants to bless his people. There's been some preachers I know that have said, man, you know what? If you're rich, man, you're not a godly man or whatever. I don't believe that at all. I believe that there are that you can look in the Word of God and you're going to see where God has poured out on his people the blessing from on high. Amen. Look at Solomon. Yes. Look at these guys. Man, just take a look at what God does when a man or a woman will serve God with all his heart and all his mind and all his soul. Hallelujah. God is trying to get blessing to you. He's trying to get things to you. Hallelujah. But it takes a little bit of effort on your part. Hallelujah. Let's 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 16. Let's go there. Glory to God. Elijah the Tishbite. How many of you guys like Elijah? I like this guy. He's a little rough, though. Can I tell you that? He was a kind of a man, you know what? Serve God or die. Kind of a prophet, man. He really was. He was a tough guy. He was Elisha, his servant, had a whole different demeanor about him. You know, remember? I don't know if you remember when they went to arrest Elijah. He'd call down fire out of heaven and burn up 50 men. No, nothing, not think about it. Is that right? I think it was maybe 200 men he might have burned up. Well, he had God burn up before finally the last one come crawling to him. And his 50 men are back there probably on their faces. He said, Elijah, could you just come with us for a little bit? Okay, I'll go with you. Elijah was a man. One of those prophets, man, that, you know, oh, my goodness. Probably not an easy man to be around. Is that all right? Is that okay? Praise God. Listen to this. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. What do you think of that? That king probably said, who are you? What's your name again? This is the first time Elijah shows up. The first time. And he goes to King Ahab and says, man, you know what? There's not going to be rain. Because what? Who are you? Who do you think you are? Man, you're going to stop the rain. Oh, okay. Really? Get this guy out of my court. That's basically, I'm sure, what Ahab was thinking. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, get thee hence. Turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. What did God do? Commanded the birds to feed him by this brook. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Is that right? No rain. Everybody say no rain? No rain in the land. So what happens when there's no rain? It's going to look like the Santa Cruz right here. Is that right? No rain? How many of you know that Santa Cruz River is a navigable waterway according to the United States government? Did you know that? Navigable. Well, how do you? I can't even say the word. Navigable. You can get a boat and drive down it. You're going to have to drive that boat because there's no water in that thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No rain, generally things are going to dry up. And the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, get to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I might drink. Isn't that crazy? Who's this guy think he is? Is that right? Do you realize this was a drought situation? Things were drying up. Everything was dry. Everybody was looking for water. And he tells this widow woman, get me a glass of water. Who are you? Who are you? Crazy. Kind of maybe, oh man, I don't know about this guy. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, and bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Jeez. Who, doesn't it seem a little arrogant for you? Doesn't it seem a little wild to you, man? But how many of you know that prophet had something in his heart that God had told him about this woman? I have commanded her to sustain you. I don't know if he would have done that with just anybody, and he might have. I don't know. He might have been that kind of guy, but I don't know. But I do know that the word of God came to him and said, go see this widow woman. I have commanded her to sustain you. So when he gets there, you know what he's doing? He said, okay, lady, you're going to sustain me. Get me some water. Bring me some bread while you're at it. Now look at her response to this. And she said, as the Lord thy God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks. How many sticks? Two sticks, not going to be a big flame. That I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Man, dire circumstances, is that right? Did the Lord know her situation? Did he know it? He did. Was she a Jewish lady? No. She was a lady. She was from Zidon. And Elijah said to her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me. And after that, make for thee and your son. Kind of a arrogant kind of thing, man. But you know what? Me first, then you. Me first, then you. But when you look at what God had told him, that he had commanded her to sustain him, he was operating under the knowledge of what God had said. So he's telling her, no, you know what? Make a cake, but bring it to me first. Because he knew that as she obeyed him and obeyed his word to bring it to him first, rather than taking care of her things first and then looking and giving it to him, but to give him first, and then them, I believe the prophet knew that's where the blessing was at, in obedience to looking outward rather than inward. You guys get what I'm saying? Yep. Looking outward rather than inward. Oh man, you know what? It's all about me. It's all about me. That seems like what Elijah's talking about, but I don't think it was. I think Elijah was saying, hey, look, this is the way God works. Look out first, and then he'll take care of your needs. Woo, come on, man. I hope you hear this. I hope you're getting this, because I believe that God is saying, hey, man, it's important that we look outward first. And then when we take care of the needs of somebody outward, you know, when you're not feeling good, the best thing to do is go pray for somebody that's not feeling good. Praise God. Isn't that right? My daughter called me this morning. She goes, Dad, already not feeling too good this morning, Dad. My response was to her was I sent her, I said, man, in the name of Jesus, I bind this thing, take authority over it. And the next thing I said, get your kids, them little ones, childlike faith, get them to lay hands on you. Let them lay hands on you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do they know you're not feeling good? Yeah. Let them lay hands on you. Because I believe, man, as they look and they say, those kids, man, in the name of Jesus, come on, man. Hallelujah. On your way out, grab a little guy and say, could you pray for me? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Because God operates so different. Isn't that right? He really operates different than what we think. Hallelujah. You might walk right by your blessing. There they go. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Make me a little cake first. He knew how the kingdom of God works. You look out first, and then God will take care of it. For thus saith the Lord, he tells them, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord send rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. How many days? She was down to her last, what, handful? Something happened, is that right? Something happened. And it says, verse 16, says, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Hallelujah. I love it. God multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied the whole time. Hallelujah. Elijah stayed there for them. He lived there for them during a lot of the famine that was happening. Praise God. I'm going to stay with this lady. She's got a barrel of meal that does not fail. And a cruse of oil that is bottomless. Praise God. By the word of the Lord. Isn't that right? Everybody, oh, know these things. Know this. This is the word of God. This is what God says. This is going to happen. Hallelujah. Do you know he does the same thing today if you'll let him? If you'll believe him for it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Let's go to that. Word of God says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The kids used to do some kind of a little thing. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm sure Micaiah could do that for us, man. But God wants to give you. Listen, that's what the Word of God says. Isn't that what it says? Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And then he says, it shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you. In other words, the same way you give out, it's going to be given to you. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you something. That tap probably works when you give first. Probably works the best. Them. It always give. When you give, you're going to find that God is a giver. And he will cause men, women, people around you to give into your bosom. Hallelujah. It's crazy. It's cool. How many know that the Word of God tells us that the sinners, they gather in and they pull all their money in and they store it up. And then it says only to give it into the hands of the faithful. How many are faithful here, man? That's what God's Word says. That's what he says. He says, I'll cause them to scoop it all up. That way they can give it to you. And that's cool. And I believe that God is doing that today. I believe that the gospel is being financed by men and women that have all their lives have stored up in a greedy kind of way, and then somehow got saved, and all of a sudden all that intake comes into the kingdom of God for the preaching of the gospel. Glory to God. I believe it. I believe God's after that. I believe God's looking for people that will believe him for that. Let's talk about the tithe a little bit. What is the tithe? We've got that up there. What is a tithe? It's 1/10 of what increase? All increase. Is that right? All increase. Every increase you get, you give a tithe on it. How many tithe? I'm not going to say that. I don't want to know that. Just kidding you. Don't put your hands up. Hallelujah. Tithing is between you and God. Is that okay? Is that okay if I tell you that? That's why when I came to this, when God has some specific things that he's told me about when we're going to have this house here, he said, number one, he says, don't corral my people. I won't corral your people. I will not make them stay. If they want to go, they're going to go. It's okay. If they want to leave, I mean, I cannot do that. God is the one that works on the heart, so why should I even try? Is that man? Amen? The other thing he said, he says, put a box in the back. Does everybody know where the box is? The box is in the back. The tithing box is right here. I'm going to walk right back here. And I want to point to it. Can you still hear me? Yep. This is it right here. This is the box. I'm sure all of you know about it. This is where it is. That's it. Somebody's gone crazy with a stamp and just stamped. But that's the box. God has said, put the box in the back. My people will know where to put their tithe. My people will find that place. Is that okay? Praise God. And I thank God for that. I don't have to worry about it. Glory to God. The tithe. Genesis chapter 28, verse 22. If you guys remember, Abraham had a had a brother. His name was Lot. He was kind of a nephew, kind of, but he calls him a brother. And in Genesis, Abraham's had split from Lot. Their herds had gotten too big to dwell together. So Abraham said, "Hey, you know, look which way you want to go, and I'll go the other way." Lot looked towards Sodom, and it was green. It was all nice down there, man. He goes, "You know what? I'll go live down there." So Abraham went the other way. A few years happened. Chedorlaomer, a king, went and attacked Sodom and took a lot of hostages. And they came and told Abraham, "Hey, you know what? Lot was captured, and he's with this king, and they're taking him back to wherever they're from." I can't remember where they're from, but anyway, so Abraham gets his servants, and he goes, "Hey, man, let's go." And he goes over, and he fights against this king, and he wins. He defeats him, and he gets everything back. Everything that they took out of Sodom, they got it all back. But Abraham was just after his nephew or his son or his brother, whatever. And Abraham was just after him. And when they were coming back, the Word of God says that there was a king that met him. His name was Melchizedek. He met him on the way. And he spoke to Abraham and he said, "Hey, blessed of God, you are blessed of God. God fights your battles. Do you know that, Abraham?" And the Bible says that Abraham, it was Abram at that time, he fell down and he worshiped him and he gave him a tenth of everything that he had taken. He gave it to him. Years ago, my son was telling me, he goes, "Hey, Dad." He goes, we don't have to give tithes anymore. Do you know that?" I looked at him, I go, "What?" He goes, "Yeah. It was these folks we were telling, and they were telling us, they taught us that we don't have to give tithes anymore because tithes was the law, and the law passed away with Jesus, and so we don't have to give tithes anymore. Isn't that good?" "No, son, that's wrong. That's not good." No, that's what he said." I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "Son, do you know when tithes was established?" He goes, "No." I said, "Look, tithing was established long before the law. Abraham gave a tithe. And then it says all of his children, Levi, all those kids that were within his loins, they all paid tithes in Abraham. And we are children of Abraham through faith." How many of you guys don't believe that? We're children of Abraham. So guess what we do? We pay tithes. And he didn't believe me. And which is cool. How many know that's okay? You don't have to believe me, but go to the Word. And that's what he did. He come back about a month later. He says, "Dad, you're right. It's right, Dad. You're right." The law came after what Abraham had established. Or Abram had established. So Genesis 28 verse 22 says this. "This stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." That's what God said. That's what Abram was talking to God. And he said he had slept on a rock and God had showed him some things. And he said, "Hey, this is going to be the house of God. It's called Bethel." And he goes, "Everything you give me, I'm going to give a tenth of it." My grandson and some of the other kids made some money out here on powwow the other day. And I told them, look, you go home and you ask your mama about paying tithes. Because he made a good chunk of change. I go, "Man, how much you make?" Praise God. People were generous to these little folks. I said, "You go home, you talk to your mama about paying tithes." How many know it's important that they know that? How many know that? How many believe that? I believe paying your tithes is an opening for the blessing of God. Hallelujah. I found a quarter in the parking lot this morning. Every increase, is that right? Is that what it says? So I asked somebody for some change so I could give him. No, I didn't. I threw the whole quarter in. No, man. Praise God, man. He said, boy, you're a tight one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Look at these. And literally, God has asked me to bring these occasionally to the house of the Lord, just in case there's some folks, because, you know, some, I might be preaching to the choir here, and people are like, yeah, we know about tithes, man, give us something else. But God wants us to refresh, because sometimes there's people in the house that might not understand the tithing and how powerful it is to you, okay? And then God is asking a question here in Malachi. He says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? Like I say, does God need your money? He does not need your money. He wants to bless you. In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse. This is God speaking. You're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. How many of you want the windows of heaven open to you so that he can pour out a blessing upon you? How many of you want that? I'll tell you what, I'm all for that, Lord. Back up your haul pack. A haul pack is a big truck they use in a dump up here. Back up your haul pack, open the windows, Lord, and let us have it. Amen? Come on. It says, pour out a blessing that there be no room to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall you your vine cast her fruit before the time of the in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise God. Can I tell you that God is saying that he wants to bless you? Can you see that the word of God is saying, I will bless you. I will pour you out a blessing so that there's no room for you to receive it. How many got room in your house to receive more blessing? I got so much blessing. I'm telling Rosie, we got to quit bringing stuff into this house, man. Come on, man. The mail. How many got, does anybody got a mail? Does anybody get a lot of mail? Golly. I said, man, more stuff. Hallelujah. There's always this inflow of blessing. Praise God. Glory to God. God does want to bless you. God is trying to let you see. Can I tell you that you don't have to give 10%? You can give 20%. You can give 30%. You can give 40%. You can give 50%. Farmall Tractor, I hear the brother that created the disc, I think it was, that was used to tear up the ground. Farmall, he started with his 10%, went to 20%, now he's given, well, his family, 90% of his tithes were going, 90% of his income was going to his tithes. He was living on 10%, which was way more than he needed. Is that cool? Because God says, I will bless you. I will bless you. God is true to his word. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He will give you what he says he will give you. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17. To make it easy. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he has given you. God will bless you. When he blesses you, turn it around, pour it out. Hallelujah. You know what's kind of fun once in a while? When he blesses you and you get this big, less little, well, large amount to me, you know, $50 a lot. No, I'm just kidding. You know, but just to turn around and just give it to somebody else. Hey, man, I want to just bless you with this, man. Somebody give you a Starbucks card for $40, man, whatever, man. You know what? Praise God. Here, I want to give you a Starbucks card. Just continue that blessing. Is that okay? Is that cool? Giving and giving and giving. God desires for us to be giving people. So every man shall give as he's able according to the blessing of the Lord thy God which he has given thee. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 16:2. Upon the first day of the week, when do you want to give? Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up in store, lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The apostle is saying, hey man, you know what? It's good just to give weekly. Whenever you get an income, whenever you get an upgrade, go ahead and give it. God will bless you over it. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to pay close attention to this one, because this, I like this scripture a lot. Hallelujah. It says, "But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you." Do you see that? Grace. God is able to make all grace, all influence, all of God's divine influence abound towards you, that you, having all what? Sufficiency. Is that what it says? In all things, may abound to every good work. Do you see how much God wants to? He wants you to be sufficient in everything. That's what the Word of God says. That's what He's trying to do. Make you sufficient in everything so that you can be as just a, you can be an outlet for God to help folks. He wants all grace to abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness remains forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. Do you see that? Increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything, unto all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. You see, as you give, and as people receive, and as they grow in this, and they give, it begins this unceasing cycle of thanksgiving. Praise God. Man, praise God. Look at this. Praise God. Look at that. Did I tell you about my barbecue? Did I say that? Did I tell you about my barbecue? I was telling Rosie one day, "Hey, man, I need a barbecue. This thing, the burner, there's a shield over the burners. The shields were gone. They're all rusted up. Flames right there. And the little holes on the flame are puggling up because the hamburger's leaking stuff down on top of it. And it's all rusted up. And it still works. It still turns on. But I told Rosie, "You know what, babe? We need a barbecue. We have to, let's go look for at a barbecue." And she goes, "Okay, we will." Almost the next day, a brother calls me up and says, "Hey, Henry." And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "You need a barbecue?" I go, yeah, I do. Praise God, man. He says, "Hey, man, my son bought it. He used it twice. And he gave it to me. He got something different. I got it." And he goes, "I think I used it twice. So it's like brand new." I said, "Great." I said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus." And I said, "You know what? I'll be over to pick it up." He says, "You?" Yeah, I go, "Yeah." He goes, "You better bring a few guys with you." I go, "What are you talking about?" "I'm not kidding you. This barbecue is about this long from here to there. All stainless steel. It's a beautiful thing, man. I there is no way I would have gone out to, I would have looked at it and said, I'm not going to buy that one. I know what that one's going to cost." But you know what? God gave me this incredible barbecue, man. Hallelujah. God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you might be sufficient in everything. Everything you need. Hallelujah. Yeah. I know. Some of you are going to say, "Hey, why don't you give me your barbecue?" Yeah. I say, "Wait." Praise God. No. You know that God does know your needs. And He wants to open up His windows of blessing, like we read, so that He can bless you and bless you so that you can bless others and bless others. Hallelujah. I'm coming up to the end of this, but when you give, and you don't have to do it here, but, and you know, a lot of folks, you write out a check or something. When you're giving, say, say you're giving to World Missions, or, you know, whatever you're giving to, there are some words that you can take before God. And I just want I want you to, if you would, Deuteronomy 26. You know, we're not going to read it today because it is a long reading. It's a whole chapter. But in it, it describes a person that comes to bring his tithe before the Lord. And it says, and it's the Word of God says it, that he sets his tithe before the Lord. And he says, and then I want you to worship, and you worship, and you thank God for that tithe. You thank him. And then you tell him something like this. I was, in Deuteronomy, it says, I was a Syrian. In other words, I was a Gentile before I come to know you, God. And I had nothing. But now you have given me an abundance, and here's my tithe on my abundance. Would you, Father, continue to pour out your blessing on me and my family and my loved ones? Deuteronomy, like I said, Deuteronomy 26. If you get a chance, read that chapter. So that when you give, when you pour, when you go to give a tithe, when you're writing out your check at home, wherever that check is going to go, just put it before the Lord and say, Lord, you can say some words like this. It is an honor to give to you, Father. It is a great honor to be able to give. How many know it's nice to be able to give? Has anybody ever been in a position where you had nothing to give? It is an honor to give. It really is. It's a blessing to give. And then when you acknowledge him by your mouth, can I tell you, so much today of what's going on is we need to begin to acknowledge God with our lips. Openly say things to him. Don't just think it, but openly say, God, I'm appreciative of what you've done for my life. And I thank you for it, Lord, because that starts a fire all around you. Woo, man. You gotta say it with your mouth. God, I appreciate just even to be able to give this little tithe, Lord, whatever it is, or this little offering, Lord, and watch what God does. Because he's a great God. The riches of this world, the riches, are in his hands. And he has an ability to get you anything and everything that you need. Because your heart is fixed on him. Listen, it's not fixed on things. Is that right? It's fixed on him. When your heart's fixed on him, things change. God blesses his people. Would you stand? Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word, God. I thank you for the people of God. I thank you, Lord. Father, this morning, Lord, I am praying, Lord, that you will take this word and deliver it into the hearts of your people, Lord God. And Lord, Lord, teach us to give without borders. Teach us, Father, how to give according to what you would have us to give. Father, I come against anything, Father God, that is contrary to your word. I come against anything that's contrary to your word, Father. Where your people might say, I've got nothing to give. Father, they have every one of us gonna have something to give, whether it's, time, finances, a smile. Lord, everything. Father God, show us, Father God, how to give. Teach us more about giving, Father. Teach us more about reaching out, Lord, with your hand, God. Thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it, Lord. Bless my brothers and sisters this morning, Lord. Bless their finances. Bless them like your word says, Father God, as they come in and as they go out. Bless them in the city. Bless them in the country, Lord. Wherever they be, Father God, that your blessings, Father God, would overtake and roll upon them, Lord. Overtake them, Father God, with the blessings of the Lord, with the knowledge of the kingdom. Hallelujah, with the understanding of who they are in you, Father, I thank you for it and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, you can come up. And we will have prayer with you. And God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.